You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, a rainy Thursday. It's April 15th. It's 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're all apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. And the other 19, well, that is certainly your responsibility. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope everybody's having a good day despite the weather. And we're ready to roll. Peter's back on camera, so all is right with the world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was
great, Peter.
Nasty drive up from Delaware. Oof.
Why? What happened?
Just gray. Just that driving rain in the on the gray turnpike. It just wears you out.
Wow. Glad you made it, though.
Aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
You wanted to see me again, and you have
me
here now.
I think the whole world did. 63% of voters did.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
All right, so let's talk some basketball. You guys know that I've been on the Nets bandwagon for a while. Love watching them. Love great teams. But I don't know. I think they lost me yesterday. I think they might have lost me. The arrogance to not care about finishing first. The arrogance of resting a Blake Griffin and Kevin Durant. When all you had to do was just flip-flop it and not play them against Minnesota. And then Steve Nash's excuse, well, we wanted to get one win after the previous loss against the Lakers. So you don't think that you could beat the Sixers with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant? And you didn't think that you could beat the Minnesota Timberwolves with what is a very good bench? And then to have such a lack of caring about finishing first in the Eastern Conference, it made me sick. It made me sick. And everybody wants to hang their hat on the fact that, the bench players came on strong and whittled down a big, big Sixer lead to 3. Well, so what? Sixers took out Joel Embiid. Their players checked out. If you did anything, you made Doc Rivers put his regular players back in. So it was a nice spirited run. But what does it mean? You lost the game. So now you lost a tiebreaker, so you might be one game back for the number one seed, but you're really 2 games back because the tie doesn't do it. The first tiebreaker is head-to-head, and the Sixers have won that. The total lack of caring, like we're so good it doesn't matter anyway, it made me really sick to my stomach. And I love watching this team play, but just the arrogance and there's just the whole sport, Don and Peter, that – they don't care about regular season at all. It means nothing. It just means nothing. But they expect people to pay for it and expect rights holders to pay for it. It just it's cockeyed.
Yeah, the old joke was always that the NHL regular season didn't mean anything. How does the NBA regular season mean something? Now, it means something to the Knicks because of the Knicks situation. But, the bottom feeder teams are all tanking for the pick. And the top teams don't seem to be all that concerned about finishing with the top seed, so they're not really playing anybody. They don't care. And I know basketball is a very difficult sport to play. And sometimes it's really hard to give guys, the break that they may need. Look what happened with Harden, right? Harden really pushed it because he was playing with a lot of injuries with the Nets, and it might have affected him. So that would be the argument. Like, listen, we can't push these guys too much because then eventually their body's going to break down when we need them the most. Okay, so I get that. So I can live with the maintenance day stuff. Other sports don't have it, but certainly basketball does. All right, I got to live with that. But why did they have to play a 4 o'clock game in New York in Minnesota against the T-Wolf team that's the worst team in the league, why did KD have to play that game? Why couldn't guys rest then and then get ready for the game the next day against Philadelphia that's a battle for first place? So why for a nationally televised game, the two best teams in the conference, you give the rest, but in some arbitrary afternoon game against the worst team in basketball, everybody plays?
Do you think
explain
the logic,
that to me, Peter.
Maybe the logic is we cannot screw around and somehow lose a game that's just you can't lose for morale's sake. But against the Sixers, a game we might lose even if we play KD, we might as well just take the game.
Well, if that's the thinking, then they don't think that much of themselves because they can beat the Timberwolves in Minnesota without KD. They can't beat the Sixers without at least two of their big three. They right. can't. They just can't. And do you have that little faith in beating the Sixers with KD and Kyrie? Kyrie had a great game. Yeah. They took him out with 8 minutes remaining because they were down by 20-some-odd points.
They had 37 at that point.
Right. So they didn't even put him back in when it got to within three, and I understand why Nash did that. Let's reward the guys like Alize Johnson, who had a really good game. Let's reward them and let them finish this out. But they didn't care one iota about the game that their fans cared about, that the NBA cared about. And I don't know how you fix it. I don't know how you fix it. So, you know, you could see why this is a team that's not liked. It's not liked because it's arrogant. And I'm not even saying the players. I'm talking about the people who run the team to make those decisions. We're not going to play KD against the Sixers. Now, I understand he's coming back from a serious injury and then also the 23 games he missed with the hamstring. And you don't want to play him back-to-back. Great. Sign off on it. Understand completely. Totally get it. But you couldn't play him against the Sixers, but you played him against the Timberwolves. It's so insulting to the sport. It really is. And I hope that the Sixers and the Nets play each other in the Eastern Conference Finals to get to the finals. And that last game is in Philadelphia. And I wonder what Steve Nash is going to think then. They could still win the game. Because when those three guys are on the court, I've said it over and over again, I don't think you could beat them 4 out of 7 games. But it's going to be a little tougher doing it on the road than it would be doing it in Brooklyn. And that's what they chose yesterday. Now, there's still 17 games remaining. So they can make up those two games. I understand that. But they back down from a challenge. They back down. That's how great teams do. They back down. They said, we'd rather not play the Sixers at full strength. Because you know what? First place doesn't matter. And we'll see them when we're fully loaded. That's terrible. What an insult to the game of basketball.
Yeah, because it's the competitiveness of it, right? I appreciate winning a championship. I do. And I understand that the Nets are one of those teams that can really kind of almost guarantee themselves they're going to have a really good chance of going deep into the playoffs, right? But still, it's the regular season, and people get excited. That game's on national television. It was on, yes, locally, but it's on national television. It's a sport that markets its stars more so than Sixers versus Nets in a battle for first place. But a lot of basketball fans just want to see the best players playing against each other. That's how the NBA markets it. That's why the NBA works. It's almost not really even about the matchups or what the game means. It's sitting down and watching the best that can play. And right now, Harden's hurt. I get it. But to not be able to see KD play just because it's a day off, when you could have given him the day off the day before on a game that nobody in the nation's going to be watching, that's just bad programming. That's bad strategy. I guess the Nets don't owe anything to the league or to the sport from popularity. They just went trying to win their championship. But still, there's like Steven said, don't you take pride in the competition of going up against the best, your rival, on national television and just bring in the best? You bring your best, I'm going to bring my best. Let's go at it.
You better deliver in the playoffs.
Yep.
Because I'll tell you what, there are a lot of teams right now who, granted, do not have the talent of the Nets, right? Now, Michael, Don, we know the Celtics have not been good this year, right? However, when you look at the Celtics' big three, this is not a team, for example, that does not have talent. They have a lot of talent. They have three legitimate stars. I mean, Jaylen Brown now is developing into a legitimate big-time star, and Tatum already became that slightly ahead of Brown. Then they have Kemba Walker. These guys at this moment are playing like it's the playoffs because they have not been good, and they're trying to find their footing. So if you get to the playoffs, you better have a lot of confidence that this whole thing's just going to gel, because you're going to be going up against teams who for the last 4 to 6 weeks have had the pedal completely pressed to the floor trying to get this thing right.
And to add insult to injury, they felt they needed to have Kevin Durant on the floor against Minnesota when Minnesota wasn't even playing Karl Anthony Towns. Really? You couldn't beat them without Durant and save Durant for the Sixers? But here's the way the thought process goes in the NBA. And that's why the regular season for some teams is essentially an exhibition slate. The Nets think, and they might be right, with Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, that they could be the eighth seed and they'll win the title. So this all means nothing to them. Nothing. And even right. Steve Nash said that we will actually probably go into the playoffs and our top five players, our top five starters, will have not played one game together all season until the playoffs. And it still doesn't worry them that they don't have home court advantage. And you charge full freight for the fans that actually can get into the building now. You charge full freight to your broadcast partners. You charge full freight to ESPN and TBS, and these games mean squat. They mean squat.
Yeah.
Home court advantage means squat to them. They spit in the face of it, but what they did yesterday. I was, listen, you know I like the Nets. I was rooting for them to get blown out. I'm actually sorry they made a run at the end because, again, it put some lipstick on a pig.
Right.
That pig don't deserve lipstick. They should have gotten blown out. They should have gotten embarrassed. Maybe would have sent a message. But instead, oh, we're gutty and gritty. Like they're the Knicks. Like they had the nerve to play the gutty and gritty card. You got the three best players in the country or three of the top seven best players in the country, and you got to play the gutty gritty card because you decided to rest Kevin Durant? No. You don't get to play the gutty gritty card. That gutty gritty card does not reside in Brooklyn. Sorry. Once you get those three players together, gutty and gritty left. They went the side door out. They're at Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden is a gutty gritty team.
So what do you do about it?
I don't know, and that's why I'm so frustrated.
Because, all right, obviously, baseball has a similar situation, right? But when you get down to this time of the season, there's value to winning your division, Michael, because if you don't win your division, you're one and done. You got one game you got to play if you're a wild card team. So there's obviously incentive to win the division. In football, you get a bye. And everybody wants the bye. They want the home field and they want the bye.
Yeah, you have to play through till you have home field.
There's an incentive to finish as the top seed, especially now, like last year, where there was only one bye for each conference. So you wanted to get that. There's value in that. So what does the NBA do? How do you go out there and give incentive to a team to want to win their conference? Now, giving them a bye is probably a bad idea because with a best of seven first round, you don't want them sitting there 2 weeks not playing. So do you give them do you give the one seed – you know, five of a possible seven home games, six of a possible seven home games. You got to give them something to want to go out there and get the one seed. And I don't know if there's really anything because a bye doesn't work. Extra home games really don't work because usually the one versus eight, it's a short series anyway.
But this is an unusual circumstance, Don, because more often than not, that team is gunning for the one seed. But in this case, the talent level is so high that they feel there's a huge distance between them and the two seed at full strength. So it's sort of an unusual circumstance in that regard. I mean, LeBron James was always fighting to get that. He, as good as his teams were, he knew he needed home court advantage. They don't think they need anything.
That's right.
This isn't even the issue isn't actually what we're talking about. The issue is the league being able to have teams that are this stacked. That is the issue.
We're
because
so
that's
good.
The reason they don't care.
We're so good that there's no roadblock that you could put in front of us that is going to stop us. Because if we have Harden, Kyrie, and KD, you know what? We're winning no matter what. And, you know, the sad part is they're probably right. Now, they suffered a little bit of a blow today. LaMarcus Aldridge, out of the blue, retired. In the last game he played, he felt his heart racing. And then once the game was over, it raced some more. The Nets put him into the hospital. And he said, you know what? Life is too short. I've devoted my life to basketball, and I'm out. And that's a blow for the Nets because he was one of their starting five. And you wondered why all of a sudden DeAndre Jordan was playing a lot and actually went up against Embiid and did okay. So you're going to see a lot more of DeAndre Jordan after a lot of people said, well, they should release him or buy him out. The Nets didn't do that. So he's right back in the rotation.
By the way, and kudos to LaMarcus Aldridge. I thought his statement and decision were really sound. He just, even though it improved the next day, he just said it was so scary at the time. He was just like, I don't need to do this anymore. I've played 15 years. I'm good. And I just, happy trails to him. It was the right decision.
Yeah, and there have been a couple of basketball players that have hit the floor and never gotten up again because of heart issues. So I thought it was an important thing for him to do. I really do. So good for him. I hope he enjoys his post-playing career. And on a more basketball level, it does hurt the Nets just a little bit because that was a big signing for them. He gave them size. He gave them aggressiveness. He gave them rebounding. Gave them defense. And now they've got to find that again with the collection that they have. You know, we're celebrating our new 2 p.m. start time by giving away $10,000 in the month of April. Now, later in the 2 p.m. hour, be listening for the KCast sounder. Please play it, Anthony.
See ya! See ya! See ya!
And be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $500 cash, all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. So you get the arrogance of the Nets organization playing it the way they play it, and then you get the Knicks, who a week and a half ago, like it was slipping away. They were under 500. They were starting to play a slate of the schedule that had teams that could beat them. You know what they've done? They have their first four-game winning streak. And they're going to New Orleans, and they pretty much contain Zion Williamson, and they beat him. And New Orleans is a team that won three in a row. And the Nets now, by the way, the Knicks right now, they're the sixth seed. How about that? They're not even in the play-in right now because the Heat lost and the Knicks won. Kudos to that team. And two games in a row they've won without R.J. Barrett having a big game.
Not a big game. He barely played the last two games.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. He just disappeared.
Disappeared. Right when everyone started. I mean, you saw Alan Hahn's tweet the other day. Or not his tweet. I saw it on Twitter. His post game on MSG the other day where Hahn was really celebrating R.J. Barrett. And I echoed the sentiment. And the second he exploded, he's now just completely disappeared the last two games. You know what? If only we had Alan Hahn coming on the show so we could ask him about it.
You know what? I think that we can do that, Peter. I think we're going to do it at 3:30. How about that?
Perfect.
But you see the Knicks do it with Taj Gibson, Alec Burks, Derrick Rose, who's, 4 years past his expiration date as a great player. I can go up and down the Knicks line. Rookies like Quickley hit a big shot. That's the gutty-gritty team in New York. That's the team that gets its nose in the dirt and plays and does whatever it has to do to win. The Nets don't feel they have to because they're elite.
But let's be honest, Michael. Before we award a medal for trying for the Knicks, they can't afford to play the game that other teams are playing.
I know.
Because they want to avoid the play-in. Because they realize that if they let up at all, they could slip right down to 10, maybe out. So they've got to play. They've got incentive to play. They want to avoid the play-in, finish as a sixth seed, so they're busting it every game. And I think the Nets would if they were in a situation where they had to play and win. That's the problem. You heard what Mark Cuban said about the play-in, that now he's got to play his players. Oh, sorry. Sorry to inconvenience you, because he's basically telling you if he was in a situation that the Nets were in or locked into where he knew they were going to make the playoffs, he'd be playing the same game Brooklyn is. You know, we're criticizing Brooklyn for not playing. If we didn't have the play-in and some team was locked into the seven seed and couldn't move up or down, they'd be doing the same thing. So good job by the Knicks, but they have no choice. But if they were locked in, they would probably do the same thing. Now, they're younger, and they don't have injury situations, but I think the reason they're playing hard is they have to. So how does the NBA make it a have-to league again?
Well, I think that they're playing hard. Forget about that they have to. That's the only way they can win games. They have to bust it to win games. They don't have an abundance of talent like the Nets. So if they had three superstars, even they were fighting for the sixth spot, they might rest people. I come back to the Nets, and this is what gets me. Is there any valor? Is there any honor? Is there any pride? Or is that all just dismissed now? You know, you got one goal, that's to win a championship, which it should be, and we're not letting anything get in the way of maybe having one of our players down. Nothing. Do you tell me in a sport like baseball where resting people has gotten to a level of craziness, just like in the NBA, if the Yankees and the Red Sox are battling for first place in September, you think any good player on either of the teams is resting just because they're resting? No, because there's some honor and valor to the battle. There's nothing. The Nets showed none of that yesterday. There's a Net fan on Twitter, so that's a garbage take. Really? It's a garbage take what the Nets did. That's garbage what they did yesterday. And I'm not.
I would like that person to call. Rather than hide behind an avatar, which garbage, I would like you to call and tell me why that's a good idea. Again, I understand. You can't. Don't tell me, well, listen, they've got to rest players. All right, I get that. I've got to tolerate that. But you couldn't rest them the day before against the Minnesota Timberwolves on an afternoon game?
If you had played the Bucks the day before and then the Sixers, and then you had to choose what game you can. I know Kevin Durant can't play two games in a row right now. They're doing load management with him. He's coming from an Achilles tendon injury and then the 23 games missed with the hamstring. So they have to be careful. But they were playing the Timberwolves. The guy who said garbage take, the three of us and Alan Hahn, might have given the Timberwolves a run. And the Nets didn't think they could. No, the Nets didn't want the challenge of meeting the Sixers. They didn't want that challenge. Well, and everybody saw, well, maybe it's, you know, strategic. They didn't want to show the Sixers any. Yeah, so, okay. Because there's no DVR of the games that these guys have played. Kevin Durant's a surprise to the Sixers.
But you see, you know, that was brought up yesterday, all right? That is a sports take for the preseason, all right? That's why divisional opponents don't play each other in the preseason in the NFL, okay? That's why sometimes you do see in regular season games, like in blowouts, like if the Giants are playing the Eagles, there might be some things they won't show them when they're going to play them later on. We're talking about two teams facing each other to battle for first place in the division, in the conference, late in the year, and you're afraid you might tip your hand or show you something? What you're saying is that you're really saying is you're comfortable with this because the regular season doesn't mean a thing. Nothing.
And
it's
Peter
all
brought up
about
a good
the
point.
Postseason.
Peter brought up a great point yesterday. If they meet in the playoffs, it's going to be a 7-game series. I think they'll find out about the Nets. I think they'll come up with some kind of, like, you know, scheme to try to beat them. I think the Nets would beat the Sixers. I do.
Because it's not the same as football. It's a 1-game playoff, and if you play the team a month out and you have a few plays or a player and you don't want to give them those looks, it makes sense because you only got to fool them for one game. It's not the same in the NBA.
Yeah, you don't. If you're the Eagles, you don't want to show the Philly special, right? When you might have to play them again. But like you said, there's no set play. There's nothing. What are you going to surprise them with? They're going to go out there with their big three, and they're going to try to beat you. And as much as I think the Nets are a better team, I don't think they're sweeping Philadelphia. So there'll be opportunities to educate yourself on multiple games before you face elimination. Come on. The regular season is supposed to mean something. All of the records are based on the regular season, not the postseason. But you know what, Peter, you're right. But we get in situations now, and it's been this way for the last couple of years, where there is a team so much better than everybody else. At least in the other sports, it's not guaranteed. We know the Yankees are good, but there's no guarantee they're going to win the championship. You know why? Because they haven't won. Because the best team doesn't always win in hockey, in football, in baseball. But usually the best team wins in basketball. So I guess the Nets can have the arrogance of saying, we know we're playing for the championship. We know there's no way we're going to get bounced in the first round. So we can play this game. But can the Dodgers or the Yankees play it in baseball? Can the Avalanche or the Lightning play it in hockey? Can a 15-1 team do that in the NFL?
They
no,
have put
because you
so
can get
much,
picked off.
So much pressure on themselves to win everything. They really have. It's all there because the way they've operated, the way they've operated this program, everything points to. And I'll say it. You know, we've danced around it the whole year. They don't win the finals. It's a failure season. Sorry. You didn't get these three guys to get there. You got these three guys to win it. And after all of these machinations, resting people, you know, personal days, if you don't win the championship, you failed. 1-800-919-3776. Lots to do today. More basketball with Alan Hahn at 3:30. We'll take your phone calls. $500 before the 2 o'clock hour is over. So keep listening right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Welcome back to the K Show on 98.7 ESPN. It's brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Here's Steve Nash, the pregame show on Yes, talking about prioritizing health over the top seed.
I think health is everything. You know, I mean, it'd be great to have the number one seed. I think it means a lot. It's valuable, but not at the expense of losing players or prolonging our injury situation. So I think we have to be very careful and make sure that our guys get to the finish line as whole as possible.
Couldn't agree with you more. Don't play him against Minnesota. That's all. If it wasn't Minnesota before, a terrible team, and you wanted to get the win because you played terribly against a completely injury-debilitated Laker team, I would understand it. You could have played your second, even third-unit team and beaten the Timberwolves without Karl Anthony Towns. So you're saying the number one seed's important, but you chose to win the Timberwolf game rather than put up a real fight and win the Sixer game. And please don't tell me about the final score. Tell me about what the score was when it was both teams' number one units as they exist playing against each other. And the Sixers blew them out. Andrew and I had a little fight yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. I texted him and I said, I can't stand the Sixers uniforms. And he said, well, I kind of like them.
You ruin everything.
I said, really, a number on some bell? And
yes.
Then he writes, some bell?
Some
that's
bell.
A real appreciation of American history. I said,
yeah.
I'm not going to celebrate something that's broken.
No, that's
a take.
That's a poor take. You cannot
that's
like the uniforms.
Uniform.
I don't like the uniforms. I the NBA's lost me on all these uniforms. They've completely ruined the Jerry Seinfeld joke. Because you're not even rooting for the laundry because you don't know what laundry's out. But it's not just some bell. Come on. I don't want to throw out the patriotic card, Michael, but my God. And then you don't like it because it's broken?
It's broken.
Oh, wow.
My take was I hated the uniform, so I wanted to take a shot at the Liberty Bell. And I did. Andrew bit.
Well.
But that's where on that uniform does it say Philadelphia? Where does it say Sixers? Where does it say 76ers?
Well,
it doesn't even go the cheap route and say Philla. It doesn't even say that.
That was lazy back in the day. That was back in the day where they put like zero thought in uniforms.
Philla.
But I don't know what. Stop. All right, I get the third jersey every once in a while. I know we're in the business of trying to make money, but some of these jerseys are just ridiculous. You don't even know who's playing half the time.
It's really distressing me because the bottom line, I love sports, but they are doing all sports, by the way. They are doing everything to push away the fans. It's like, and I've talked about this with the analytics crew in baseball. They don't care what's good for the sport. All they care about is how do we win in the best, most creative way. Not even if it hurts the aesthetics of the sport. And I get it, because those guys, they are entrusted, you know, the strength and conditioning guys of the Nets and, you know, working out the programs to keep they have one job, keep these guys healthy and win the NBA Finals. But in terms of being good for the NBA and the analytics guys, in terms of what's good for the MLB, they don't care. Somehow there has to be a meeting of the two where your job is to win and also not to hurt the sport, not to rest people, not to have load management days, because that will get us to our ultimate goal. But your ultimate goal is also as an entertainment vehicle. You're not playing in a vacuum. If you're playing in a vacuum and you are not an entertainment vehicle, then that's fine. Rest Kevin Durant every single day until you get to the playoffs. But that's not the way we roll. People are paying good money for these games. There were 4,000 people in that arena yesterday. And so they saw a net squad that was not representative.
Because, you know, it's great. And listen, I know it seems like we're picking on the Nets because it could be the Knicks in the situation with the Nets and like vice versa. I just don't like the whole taking the knee on the regular season that's happening in sports now, especially for the teams that know they're going to make the run. Because even though the regular season to a Net fan may not matter because they've got bigger prizes to go after, they want to win that championship, but not everybody can win a championship. So the whole idea is you want to entertain people during the course of the regular season because that's kind of where everything gets built up. And then the best of the best go out there and compete for the championship. But to already know this early on that you could win it. And that's what's so unique to basketball. That's what hurts them. That's why I don't know there's anything to do about it. Because an 8 seed can win the Stanley Cup. A wild card team can win the World Series. A wild card team can win the Super Bowl. We saw the Giants win a Super Bowl at 9-7. And we've seen an 16-0 team not win a championship. But that usually doesn't happen in basketball. So they can actually throw the regular season away because it doesn't mean anything. What can we do to make it mean something?
I hate to say this. Peter, you're going to hate to hear it.
All right.
I might not be rooting for them to win.
On principle.
They need a little bit of a comeuppance at what they did yesterday. They need a little of a comeuppance that these games mean something. I might not be rooting for them to win.
Doesn't that comeuppance have to come at the hands of the Sixers? Aren't they who should have felt the most disrespect yesterday?
Yeah, right. And it's got to come in the seventh game of a best of seven and the games in Philly and not in Brooklyn because of the shenanigans that the Nets pulled yesterday.
And again, not to punish the Nets specifically, but one of the reasons I'm kind of on board with you, Michael, is because it enables the situation. If it works,
yep,
then they're going to do it again, and then other teams will do it again, and it further shows you the regular season doesn't mean anything. So if the Nets were to lose to the Sixers Game 7 in Philadelphia because of what happened last night, that would show you, hey, maybe we got to pay more attention to those games during the regular season. Or if there was a Charlotte that beat them in the first round, say, like, hey, you know what? Maybe we got to treat these regular season games a little bit more important because, boy, all the resting we did and all the focus on the championship we did didn't really help us win the championship. But, Michael, if they go out there and wipe the floor with everybody, then everybody's going to say, well, I guess that's the way to do it.
That's right. And that's why – and they continue to do it because Toronto had great load management when it came to Kyrie. And it kind of started with Popovich in San Antonio resting players. I'll tell you how you stop players from resting. I'll tell you. I'll give you a little clue. You get paid for playing 82 games in a regular season. Every game you don't play because of load management, you don't get paid. Your salary is split into 1/82nd. 82 parts of your salary split 82 ways. And if you don't play a game, like if you get $82 million for the season, you don't get $1 million for one game that you have to rest for load management.
But that would cure it if it's all the players. But I'm not sure it's all the players, Michael.
I think
the organizations want to do this.
I agree with you. And here's another one. If you have load management, then part of the price of the ticket has to be slashed. I know how they'd get around it. Well, the guy's hurt. His back hurts. It's not load management. His back hurts. Everybody's a liar. Let's go to Sam in Manhattan. Sam, start it off.
Hey, Michael. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I actually met you in Vegas at the winter meeting this year ago. I was thinking for Summer of K, we should all go back.
You know what? That'd be cool. That'd be a great way to celebrate Summer of K.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's make a tentative plan. What else you have, Sam?
Okay. All right. So I kind of just wanted to. I'm a huge Nets fan, but I kind of just wanted to defend them for a second on why they chose to play KD in the Minnesota game, is because I don't think they knew if Kyrie was definitely playing in the Sixer game, and if he's not playing, then you don't want to run KD out there by himself against them, and you want to lock up the win against Minnesota, and especially since they've been bad against bad teams this year. So just get that win, and you don't know when Kyrie's showing up. To get them win against Minnesota, and then you could rest everyone against the Sixers, and it is what it is.
Yeah, but okay, Sam, but they have to have some kind of dialogue with Kyrie. Are you playing or not? You can't guess on this stuff. That's another thing. Kyrie's taken off for personal reasons quite a bit. We have no idea what they are. None. He still hasn't made it public that, you know, he was out for those 3 days supposedly because he had a child. I don't know. I'm just saying, if you take off for personal reasons and the fans are paying to see Kyrie Irving, is that fair? And I'm throwing this out there, stuff that aggravates me, but I don't know how to beat it. I don't know how to beat it.
No, I just wish that there would be a little bit more pride. Again, we keep bringing this up, Michael. It doesn't happen in hockey. Why? They have the same format. They have the same format, 1 through 8 making the playoffs. I mean, they don't have the play-in, but normally it's the same, you know, situation with the NBA. You know, go out there, and you don't have to be the one seed, but yet still guys go out there and play. You know what? Panarin took his maintenance day, didn't skate today in the morning skate. Or a guy won't practice because they want to be ready for the game. They want to play. Now, makes sense for the Rangers because the Rangers need every single point. But, you know, I watched the Avalanche last night. Everybody played. Teams in first place. Best record in the NHL. Everybody played. Now, minutes might get scaled back a little later in the year. Maybe they won't play quite as much. And maybe there will be a game when everything is clinched up, Michael, where there'll be healthy scratches. But while it's still in doubt where you could finish, going out there and you're playing. And you're playing to the best of your ability because that's your job. Is to go out there and play. Nobody's asking you to play with a broken leg. Some guys do play in pain. Some guys don't. Whatever. There's a certain level of tolerance to pain. There's a certain different injuries that affect people differently. But if you're ready to go, you go. And you play. Never heard it's rest for the playoff stuff. I mean, especially when nothing's solidified yet. First place is still up for grabs.
And the load management nonsense has gotten so crazy that in game 12, the Yankees rested DJ LeMahieu, a perfectly healthy player. But I don't get it.
But here's the pride factor, honestly, is that whether you want to or not, you're held to a certain standard throughout the history of sports. What's the biggest conversations we have? Who are the greatest players of all time? Right? Who's the best quarterback? Who's the best center? Who's the best whatever? And the reason that we're in awe of these players is the ability to do things we can't do and the ability to do it on a consistent basis. If you're telling me that you're one of the best players in the history of basketball, then it shouldn't be a problem for you to go out there and be that player for 82 games. If you can't be that player for 82 games, you can only be it for 62 games, well, then I guess you're not that great.
Well, you're certainly not able to be in the conversation with
right.
the people who we consider to be the greatest.
So when I'm comparing you to LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Wilt Chamberlain or whatever, those guys play every single night, and they still manage to be the best at their sport in their era. But for you to be the best of your sport in your era means you've got to take off every 5-6 days. This goes for every sport. Same with baseball. Willie Mays didn't take days off. He was able to be the best player in baseball for 154 games or 162 games, whatever year we're talking about. Oh, but you know what? Aaron Judge can't do. No, we can't play him every. You want him to do that every day? Well, yeah, that's what everybody else did. That's what every other great player did throughout the history of the sport. But now you're great. You're one of the best players. But now you can't do it over 162. You can't do it over 82. Well, then I've got to wonder how great you really are.
And you know that the training and the food and the medical
it's all better.
Situation is so much better. They should be able to play all the time, but they choose not to. Why can't they just operate under the premise that Joe DiMaggio operated under? He said, I play hard every single day because there could be a kid in the stands that's seen me the first time. There are people, there might be a family that saved up money to go see the Sixers last night, to go see Kevin Durant. Well, load management day. Come on. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Met game this afternoon was rained out. They were going for a sweep of the Phillies, so the Mets kind of flexed, and they have not had a consistent schedule because of several factors. But, you know, the doubleheader was impressive, and then the victory last night, really impressive as well. And they had Jacob DeGrom going today. What scares me is now Jacob DeGrom will go tomorrow in Colorado. I don't want Jacob DeGrom pitching in 20-degree weather because that's what it's supposed to be in Colorado. It's supposed to snow all day and then taper off at night where they could play the game. I would much rather have gotten Jacob DeGrom to get the game in today and then sit in the clubhouse warm rather than expose that beautiful arm to that kind of weather. But, you know, the Mets are playing pretty good baseball. If they get pitching, they're going to be good because their offense is good. It really is. And you can't even get out their center fielder. I mean, the guy has a .583 on base percentage. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's been absolutely terrific for them for sure. And I think he is right now two games shy of the Met record for, I think, multiple hit games, and which is held by David Wright. I mean, that's where we're getting at. I think he's got 8, and I think the record's 10 consecutive. It's a pretty impressive start to the season. We talked about it yesterday, Michael. Think about it. They're 5-3, right? And really have not gotten anything from Alonso, Lindor, Conforto. They haven't won DeGrom starts. And yet they're 5-3. So eventually they'll start winning DeGrom starts. I mean, he might not get the win, but at least they, you know, win the games, and you figure Conforto will be better, Lindor will be better, Alonso will be better, and then maybe this is a team that will be, you know, the champion of this division. You know, so far, so good. For the truncated schedule, for some of the slumps that they're in. Michael, if Dominic Smith becomes a star, I mean, think about the offense potentially on this team. Now, Nimmo's going to slow down, but, you know.
I think Smith is a legitimate star.
Hey,
I think he's the best hitter on the team.
I think you're right, and I think that's going to be pretty, you know, pretty special moving forward. I mean, their rotation, they've survived so far. This bullpen is always going to be a high wire act, but, you know, so far, so good. You know, and you got to be pretty happy with that. And you're right, another joke, you know, open-air stadium in Denver. Yeah, that was smart, too.
And Steve April. Cohen would have been able to expedite things and get that roof on. They could have played today, but another rain out at Citi Field, and then you get 20-degree weather in mid-April in Colorado. That's what's supposed to be Saturday.
Let me ask you this, Mike, because you're baseball savvy, and you're also savvy on how things work.
Savvy in life, really.
Because I brought this up yesterday, and I don't know the feasibility of it. Right. Everybody and their mother knew yesterday morning there was no way they were playing baseball today. Could you, since you don't have a full building, could you have been proactive and try to squeeze two in yesterday?
Then it would have been doubleheaders back-to-back. They probably
you're only playing seven innings. I mean, it's starting to pile up here. And I would just think take advantage of not having full buildings. I know it would disappoint some people, but, you know, now you're getting into a situation where they're on and off. Rain out today. Very good possibility that snow lasts a little longer and tomorrow they don't play. And it's ridiculous. So you don't want to play doubleheaders back-to-back, but you're still going to have to load up a lot of doubleheaders. And this is still holding your breath and crossing your fingers there's not a COVID situation. So if you know that ahead of time, you knew they weren't playing today. The forecast all week was going to be Thursday was going to be a washout. I don't know. If it's not feasible, it's not feasible. But I at least thought about that.
Well, I think it's feasible because of the lack of fans. You know, 40,000 fans, it's about 8,000 fans. So I guess it makes it feasible, but I guess there's a lot of other moving parts that we're not aware of. I'm not quite sure. And the fact that, you know, the Phillies come back twice more, I don't think they want to do that. So that's why today's bang. But now you get Jacob DeGrom pitching in terrible weather tomorrow in Colorado. I hate to pat myself on the back. But when all the free agent pitchers are out there, I don't know if either of you remember. I blatantly, pointedly said, you got to take a chance on Carlos Rodon.
Mm.
Former number one draft pick or first round draft pick. Filthy stuff. Tommy John surgery. But he could pitch. And the White Sox brought him back for nothing. For absolutely nothing. Pitched a no-hitter last night. One batter away from a perfect game.
I felt so bad for him. Because that's what's great, modern-day baseball, Michael. You know, the app sends me an alert. And I got the baseball package. So, boop. Commercial break for Million Little Things. Flip on the end of the ninth inning of the White Sox game. Get to see a perfect game broken up on a hit by pitch and then a no-hitter.
And for those that don't know, I think – because he does work for ESPN a lot now. Maybe people are getting to know. But the White Sox television play-by-play guy, Jason Benetti, is about as good as it gets.
Mm.
He is about as good as it gets. So if you ever get a chance, give a listen to him doing a game. He's that good. And, you know, he certainly has worked with I give the White Sox credit. Because Jason has a neurological disease, and they hired him for TV. And he's about as good as we have in Major League Baseball. So I give congratulations to the White Sox for ignoring any physical disability that Jason has, because he's got a great aptitude, a great voice. He's wonderful. He really is. And since 2016, he's been their play-by-play voice, and good job by the White Sox. Good job. And not that he needs charity, because he's so good, but a lot of teams would not have ignored the physical disability that he has. But he gets around. It doesn't affect his voice or his brain. He's tremendous. He really is.
And I realize we're still getting no hitters, believe it or not. But they're going to be few and far between now, with pitchers just not being allowed to go the distance. That's what makes baseball special. That separates baseball from all the other sports. That some nondescript game in April becomes something that people can gather and watch, because no-hitters and perfect games are still special and unique. And by not letting pitchers go the distance, they'll be few and far between now. And I give the White Sox credit, too. He threw 114 pitches, which is probably pushing it.
Yep.
But he didn't pitch his last start because he was sick. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But still, you're dancing that line where you're not only battling the opposition – to try to get the no-hitter, but you're also battling the number of pitches you throw.
Yeah, that's why coming into the season, I would have told you, I don't think you're going to see that many no-hitters anymore. We've already seen two. So Musgrove had one. They pitched him to a pitch count that they probably don't want to. And I just don't see a lot of teams doing that. I think the pitch count's much more important than a personal accolade, but both the Padres and the White Sox, Tony La Russa allowed him to go probably more than they wanted him to, and now he's part of forever. One more thing about Benetti is a great story. They should make a movie about him. In high school, right, he wanted to play the tuba in the marching band. But he has cerebral palsy, because he was born 10 weeks prematurely and hospitalized for 3 months. So he could not play the tuba in the marching band because of palsy. And so the marching band, not wanting to exclude him, the band director asked him to serve as the halftime broadcaster. And here he is. That's one of the best in the business.
That's a great story.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of great stories, Sports Illustrated has its NFL draft issue out. Now, Trevor Lawrence, I think somebody said it on the show yesterday, for 3 years he's the presumptive number one pick when he decided to leave Clemson. And this is one of those things where, you know, you allow members of your family to be interviewed. And then after the story's out, you would think that Trevor Lawrence would tell his dad to shut your trap, dad, because it's not going to help me. And Trevor didn't do himself any favors either. The story's by Michael Rosenberg, very well respected.
My dad also.
Yeah, he's also very well respected. Trevor said, I'm passionate about what I do, and it's really important to me, but I don't have this chip on my shoulder. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to. I want to do it because I want to be the best I can be. I want to maximize my potential. Who would want to? You kind of waste it if you don't. It's hard to explain that because I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do, and it's really important to me. And again, he goes on, I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me. I'm just trying to prove everybody wrong. By the way, that's what drove Michael Jordan, kind of what drives Tom Brady. His sister goes, there's more to life than playing football. And Trevor said, yeah, there is. I think people mistake that for being a competitor. I think that's unhealthy to a certain extent. Just always thinking that you've got to prove somebody wrong, you've got to do more, you've got to be better. Now, his father says, he's not award-driven. He's not. He's not the guy I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. His high school coach made it worse. He said, there's no doubt about it. With who he is a person, he could walk away from it tomorrow and be fine. Wow. So let's listen to our guys. Here's Lewis Riddick on Trevor Lawrence's comments in SI.
There are quarterbacks that are just maniacal in terms of their preparation and their commitment to the game, and they do want to win at all costs. Quite honestly, the guy who we consider the GOAT, Tom Brady, he has said, if you are not willing to commit yourself in the way that I'm willing to commit yourself, then you're probably going to have a problem matching up with him over time, you know, to paraphrase. You're probably going to have a little bit, be at some kind of deficit at some point in time in a football game against him, because he's someone who is maniacal in terms of making sure that he has all the answers and he is prepared as much as possible, and he will do whatever it takes in order to win football games. And winning at the NFL level is hard, man. Playing quarterback at the NFL level is hard. Steve Young used to say it all the time to me on Monday Night Countdown. It's about the details. It's about the preparation. It's about the commitment, and you better be committed on that level. And the last thing I'll just say is this real quick. Remember now, people were questioning Justin Fields. People were questioning Justin Fields, and he hadn't said a word. People were questioning just how committed he was and whether he was going to be one of those guys who's going to put in the time to be great. If Justin Fields had said this kind of thing, what do you think we'd be talking about here this morning? So I'm just going to put that out there, and I'm not questioning Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying, though.
I think you're allowed to question a guy, and you know, personal. I forget if it was the dad or the high school coach. He's not award-driven. The Super Bowl's not an award. It's an achievement, and the great ones will do anything to win. Tom Brady essentially puts his life on hold. He doesn't eat anything fun. He doesn't eat anything with taste. All he does is train. He doesn't eat ice cream because he loves ice cream. And if he does, he eats avocado ice cream.
Mm.
This is a guy who actually has put every fun thing, other than, you know, his relationship with his wife, I hope, every fun thing on the shelf because he wants to do things that have never been done before. Football is a sport where the maniacal seem to prosper. And Trevor Lawrence could have the greatest skill set you could possibly have. But if I'm Urban Meyer and I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, these comments worry me a lot. They really do.
I think about what Greg Buddle used to always say. They paid me to practice. I played for free. And in every sport, you play more than you practice because there's a lot of games. That's the games are the fun part. But the training and the working out and the practice, that's the hard part. That's the stuff that's not fun. Football is 80% not fun. You play once a week. So the other 6 days, or I say five because you get Tuesday off, right, is looking at film, studying plays.
Quarterbacks don't get Tuesday off. They're studying stuff. At home.
But I mean they're not on the field.
Right.
But yeah, but especially a quarterback. You're watching film, you're studying the plays, you're on the phone with the coach going over stuff, going through walkthroughs, practice, plane ride to the away games. Most of your football career is not fun. The fun part is playing for, you know, 60 minutes on Sunday, getting on the field and the glory of trying to win a football game, and then the rest is recuperation, working out, studying. It's not fun. So when I start hearing somebody say that he could walk away with it, to walk away tomorrow, that he's not driven, I just wonder, is he going to have the commitment to have a long career? And I do this for a long time, especially when there's going to be adversity early in his career, because the Jaguars aren't going to be great right away, you know? So there's going to be a lot of losing, and there's going to be a lot of scrutiny, and there's going to be a lot of things written about him, and a lot of trials and tribulations that it's going to be it's not going to be a lot of fun. So that's what I kind of worry about when I hear somebody that isn't driven, because how are you supposed to drive through 80% of not fun time in your career?
Am I the only person who's quote unquote in sports media who heard this and thought it was a big nothing burger?
Tell me why. I'm interested why you think it's not a big deal.
I just think it's something he said to sort of describe the fact that he does this for different reasons than other people. I do not think it's because he doesn't care to play hard.
But if it was him, I could see if he was spinning it. It's his high school coach and his father saying stuff too.
Right. But I understand that they're speaking to his style. But this is a kid who made it to being the best player in college football. And at no point has anyone said anything over the last year when he's been talked about constantly about him having like a low motor. Or he's really not a guy who seems super focused during the game. Or he's not having the same questions Wilson has about not being the captain of his team. So he's a guy who appears to have done everything the way he was expected to do it and has made it to the absolute highest level. I'm not going to get overly concerned because of quotes like this.
All right. And that's fair. But here would be my concern if I'm investing the first overall pick in the draft.
That's the key.
All right? Where I'm looking at everything. I'm looking at Wunderlich tests. We're going over Wilson, whether he's enough of a leader. There's nothing that can be ignored, Peter. You got to pay attention to everything. And I'm not saying I wouldn't pick him because of this, but this would be my concern. When you're Trevor Lawrence, there hasn't been a lot of adversity in your career, right? Because you've always been the best. Now you're going to go and join the NFL, and you're not going to be the best. And you're going to face more adversity in your first couple of years than you probably have ever faced in your life on the football field. And it's not going to be a lot of fun. So when I hear those comments, is that a guy that might fight through an injury? Is that a guy that when he's getting beaten up and not having a good time, is he going to drive to be better, or is it going to discourage him? I mean, it's such a hard position to play, Peter. These are things you don't want to hear when we're asking you to carry a franchise for the next decade and a half. You're right. It might be a nothing burger. But when I'm investing so much capital in making that decision, this is something I have to pay attention to.
And I don't think it's a nothing burger for the basic fact that in order to be successful in football, everything else has to be secondary. Even family. I mean, you see coaches all the time get divorced. I mean, that has to be all-consuming, and it doesn't seem like it's all-consuming. So maybe through this part of his career, he's gotten by on just extraordinary skills. He's very tall. He's big. He's got the prototypical quarterback body. But unless you're willing to put in 20 hours a day, have no social life, be at the facility constantly, that's what Tom Brady does. I'm sorry. Tom Brady is a lunatic. And I think all the great players are lunatics when it comes to preparation and putting in that extra tape, that extra film, the extra couple of hours, not going home, missing dinner with your wife and kids. That's what makes football players great. And if he's not willing to do that, Urban Meyer is a lot riding on him. His success as an NFL coach. If he gets this wrong, he's in trouble. So I was furious when the Jets won those games because I wanted Trevor Lawrence. And I probably still would want him.
Yeah.
But maybe in a weird way, they lucked out. Maybe Zach Wilson turns out to be better. Maybe Zach Wilson is obsessed with football and will put in 20 hours a week. Trevor Lawrence was supposed to go to the NFL. It's not a combine, whatever they were having. He decided, no, I'm getting married this week. He could have got married any other week. He got married the week that is supposed to go to the NFL combine.
Well, he also feels probably like he doesn't need to do that, which is probably fair, considering the guy knows where he's getting picked and what you've seen what he's put on tape, which is a guy who looks like basically a flawless specimen at the position. Listen, I get that with the amount you're investing with the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, you have to look at absolutely everything. And it's a fun talking point. I think it's something we won't really remember. I do not think we're going to be thinking this is a guy who doesn't try hard.
You know how we'll remember it? If he doesn't succeed.
No. Right.
If he doesn't succeed. I remember that story, that SI story.
But you could find out someone's the hardest worker on planet Earth. And guess what? If you don't have the skill set that a guy like this has, there's no conversation to be had anyway.
Yeah, but there have been plenty of times where we see talented players and it just doesn't seem to work out. Right? And then you find out later on that maybe they just weren't all in. Now, I am not going to accuse, even through these comments, that he's ever not going to try. I think he will be engaged and want to be the best player that he could be. But unfortunately, in this sport at this level, that might not be enough. Like, you really have to lay it all out on the line in this sport. And if you don't, that little bit of a difference can be the difference of whether you're a Pro Bowler winning Super Bowls or you just turn out to be an okay quarterback and not a great quarterback.
You know what the difference between Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf were? It was this. Peyton Manning, compulsive. Ryan Leaf, not so much. He failed. So, you know, Phil Sanchez listens to the show, great listener to the show, tweeted, I agree with Peter on this, Lawrence thing. Not everybody's Michael Jordan or Tom Brady. Jeter wasn't. It hasn't hurt Lawrence yet. Well, Jeter was. Just because you're not maniacal in public, Jeter was maniacal about winning. His whole life revolved around winning, doing everything he could do to win, preparing to win. So, yeah, not everybody's Michael Jordan and Tom Brady. But when you're the number one pick in the draft, that's the aim, to be Michael Jordan or Tom Brady, not to just be some average slub. You're the number one pick in the draft.
Now, we don't know how true this turned out to be, but remember, Michael, when Sanchez was here with the Jets, there were those, like, reports that, yeah, he works hard, but they feel like he can work a little harder. Like, maybe he can stay an extra couple hours at the gym. Like, again, we don't know if those reports were true, but those were conversations. And if those ended up being true, is that the reason why maybe he didn't have the career that everybody thought he would have? I mean, that's the difference. They all come in with talent, Peter. They all come in with big arms and big resumes in high school and college. But I think the difference when you get to the pros are the guys that maybe do that little bit more. And I'm not saying you got to be RG3 and diving for every yard head first. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that maybe you can leave the gym after a two-hour workout, but you're the one that stays 2.5 hours because you want that little bit of an edge. The guy that will fight through an injury. Just give a little more because that's how hard this sport is. And I think those are the difference. That's the little things that add up to whether you're a Hall of Famer or somebody that has a pedestrian career, because there really wasn't a big difference talent-wise between Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but I'll tell you the difference between Ryan Leaf and Trevor Lawrence is where they played in school, too. I mean, Trevor Lawrence didn't do this at a mid-major or at a really good program. He did this at Clemson, and that program has been at the highest level they could be at since he's been there. And he's done it at the absolute highest level repeatedly.
And so is everybody around him. Every offensive lineman, every weapon were highly recruited, great players. Now he's going to go to basically a glorified expansion team that came off a 1-15 season, right? So now it's not going to be where everybody's great and everybody was so heavily recruited and you're expected to go out there and be the best football team. And maybe at Clemson, and maybe when you have that much talent in high school and college – the 80-90% effort is more than enough. But now you're getting to the pros where everybody's getting paid to play. And now that little tiny bit, and nobody's saying you're not working hard, but are you maximizing it? Are you giving it all you have? And that little bit of maybe not giving it can be a huge difference when you're going up against professionals and you're playing for a team that's a complete rebuild. And that there are other professionals making millions of dollars who are paid to take your head off.
And I hate to be that guy, but I will be. So he went to Clemson, has a great coach. They had great players at every single position. And he's far and away the greatest quarterback in college football during that time. And he won one title. He lost two title games. Did he put in enough time? I don't know. I'm trying to make the narrative fit to what I read in SI. He won one title when he might have had the best team all 3 years, yeah, and he won one.
The hardest game, Peter, he will ever play in his life
is
will be his first
year.
NFL game.
For sure.
Going to be interesting. We'll take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's rip through some phone calls. Let's go to Mike. Where did you grow up, Don?
Hawthorne.
Mike, in that place. Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Just about this Trevor Lawrence, I was thinking about it from a different angle. Since the comments were made by him and people close to him, do you think maybe he's trying to get out of being picked first? Maybe he doesn't want to play for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, especially since San Fran moved up?
I don't know if it's pretty deep there, Mike. I don't know if the comments will get him moved out. I mean, he could work behind the scenes and say, I'm not playing.
Well, yeah, pull an Eli.
Yeah.
I mean, if he really doesn't want to play in Jacksonville, why sully your reputation with garbage? Yeah. Just say, I'm not playing for Jacksonville, period.
Right.
Now, that doesn't make you look good either, but this isn't good.
No. Let's go to Jeff in Rockland. Jeff?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Doing great. You guys always talk actions speak louder than words. When this kid was a freshman and won the national championship, they said, go home. You'll be number one pick in 2021 no matter what. The pandemic rolls around. They're telling him, begging him, don't play, don't play. He gets COVID. They say, don't play, don't play. He plays. He wants to win. He said, I'm there for my teammates. I agree with Peter. This is a big nothing burger. Man's talented. He's going to do just fine in the NFL. He's going to be a great quarterback. And I think it's really unfair what they're doing to Justin Fields comparatively. That's what I got to say.
Well, it's funny, Jeff. I agree with Lewis Reddick about something. If Justin Fields' high school coach and father said this about him, I mean, there are already whispers about Justin Fields. And, I mean, what would they say if it was Justin Fields? But, you know, you could say that he did great in college. He did great because he's supremely talented. He's got the prototypical NFL quarterback body. Got a great arm. But you've got to be special and work even harder in the NFL. As Don said, the first game he plays in the NFL be the toughest game he ever played. It moves at a speed that you can't even imagine.
Yeah, and listen, I that is a great call because that is true. He could have walked away and he wanted to play because he wanted to win a national championship. And I think that's great, but that's also an easier thing to do than when you're going to be playing in Jacksonville and you're 3-13, when there's a lot of struggles and stuff. We're just, again, nobody's saying he's not going to work hard.
But we live in an era now where when players know where they're going to get drafted, they're skipping bowl games, they're opting out early. He did multiple times answer the bell when he didn't have to. And Michael's suggesting that, you know, maybe they would have won more. I mean, you said, Michael, that they could have won more championships. I mean, if you're suggesting this guy doesn't have the Tom Brady mentality, he sure did a lot of winning for a guy who doesn't have that.
Yeah, but in college, if you're on a team with a lot of – I mean, there are certain colleges that get the best players. Clemson gets the best players. Alabama gets the best players. So you're going to win by proxy. And he was the best quarterback. But when the competition got really hot, I think that Trevor Lawrence should have won 3 national championships. He has one. And I'm not saying – I don't know why. But when you come up with comments like this, you wonder, is that why? Is he putting in the extra hours? Did he not recognize the defense that Alabama's throwing at? It could be totally illegitimate, Peter. But it's allowing us to open that door when we shouldn't have opened it. Dumb comments by his dad. Dumb comments by his high school coach.
We all agree with that. It was definitely dumb comments no matter how you cut it. We can do the whole thing of like, oh, yeah, well, he went to Clemson. They have the best players too. But, guys, we talk about the eyeball test and watching football for 40 years, 40. This guy is the most obscene eyeball test success that I've seen in a long time. The last time I saw a quarterback look this good, and I don't know that he looked this good, it was Andrew Luck. I mean, the kid is clearly special, and I guarantee you that as talented as his players were at Clemson, he will be the best of all the players that he played with when they get to the next level.
But even the guys that are that supremely talented still have to work their butts off to stay there. And it's something that doesn't always pay off. You work your tail off and you still lose. You work your tail off and you still throw four picks. So I don't think we can look at it and say, look how good he's been. Then you know that he works at the best possible amount to win. Well, you can't leave anything on the table. And this story is suggesting that this is somebody that, hey, you know, he can walk away tomorrow and not care. You at least have to admit that's a really bad look. And you're hoping it's not true.
Tom Brady can't even walk away after seven titles. He's 44 years old. He can't walk away. This guy could walk away, his father said, whenever he wants, and it wouldn't be affected. That's a little bit of a concern. Not blowing it out of proportion. He can end up being a great quarterback. But these are red flags to me.
And also, Peter, you bring up Andrew Luck. Well, what happened with Andrew Luck?
Right, Andrew he Luck had other interests, and he walked away.
Enough, well, I'm done. And he's entitled to do that.
Well, he also wasn't protected for his career and was destroyed physically.
But what I guess what we're saying is I'm drafting the first overall pick. I'm hoping he's going to be here for the next 15 years. Not like, and if they screw it up, which they might, and they might not be great for him, and they may not protect him, and he might get beat up, and he might just, then there's evidence to say that, you know, maybe after 10 years of getting beat, I'm walking away. I'm not doing this anymore.
By the way, in the last two bowl games, his defense led up 49 and 42 points respectively. He threw for 400 yards and two touchdowns in the last bowl game. I don't know.
Well, he threw for 400 yards because his team was behind.
I understand. But
he threw on every play.
But he wasn't playing linebacker either.
I understand, but he didn't outscore the other team, and he's the best quarterback. No. So who did they lose to the last game, Peter? What was that last game that he lost?
Ohio State.
So he got out-dueled by Justin Fields.
Yeah. I mean, if that's who you want to look at it.
Well, they both came from the same town. Justin Fields was always number two, and Justin Fields really outplayed him that day. And then Justin Fields and didn't play very well against Alabama.
Justin Fields was obscene in the last game. I mean, we all remember that. He definitely
game against Clemson, happened. Not against Alabama. He was
awful. Against Clemson. He threw six touchdowns. I mean, he was obscene. Listen, I'm not saying it's not worth having a conversation. I'm just saying I don't think there's anything really to it.
Let's go to Ricky in North Arlington. Ricky.
Gentlemen, Michael, Peter, Don, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My apologies. Good evening. So I'd like to start with Lawrence. I believe that the take is being misconstrued. I'm with you, Peter. I don't think there's much to it. I'd like to think that he's going to work hard simply because that's his job. I think that's the mentality that he has, and perhaps his father. I do understand that the wording was off, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on that side. And then real quick on the Nets, I know that people pay to see the stars, and I understand that, but I also feel that by giving some of these bench guys a little bit more time, it's overall going to make the product better when they really need it.
That's an unintended consequence. They're not playing... they did not play Kevin Durant yesterday so that Nick Claxton gets more time. They didn't play Kevin Durant because it was his day to be off. So, please, let's not spin it to the land of unintended consequences that their bench is going to be better. Their bench, if everything is right and Harden, Kyrie, and KD are healthy, they're not going to be having the bench play much. Those guys are playing 40 minutes a game in the postseason.
And back to the to Lawrence thing, right? Because I remember the Sanchez story. The Sanchez story was he thinks he's working as hard as he could, but he's not. Like, that's how hard it is, Peter. It's like you put in all the work, and then you find out as you get deeper in your career, wow, I thought I was putting in as much as I could, but it's going to take even more to be great. So the last thing you want to hear is someone that it's even a little fraction of not being all in. Because even if he thinks he's doing enough to be ready, it still may not be enough to be ready. So that's how hard this sport's going to be for him. Even the no-brainer number one pick overall, it's still going to be very hard for him to be the best quarterback in the NFL. And when it's that hard, the last thing you want to hear is that somebody may not be completely all in or committed.
But do any of us know, and I'm asking this not rhetorically, I'm legitimately asking this, do any of us know what Patrick Mahomes' mentality is in terms of this stuff?
No.
Or do we just know he's an absolute freak?
We know he's an absolute freak.
No.
I've never heard stories that Mahomes is Brady. He's an athletic freak show. And that doesn't mean he doesn't sit and study tape all day. Maybe he does.
But when he dislocated his knee or whatever it was, takes a special kind of guy to come back and not miss a game.
But we just saw that Trevor Lawrence is that kind of kid, too. He got COVID, decided to play a year he totally didn't need to play. So maybe he does have that.
Anthony, can I have a breaking news sounder, please?
Oh, wow.
It hasn't happened in a while, Don, but the Red Sox have lost a game. They got walked off against the Twins 4-3, so their 9-game winning streak is, in fact, over.
That is scary, though, that they won 9 in a row after getting swept by Baltimore to start the season.
And they were down 3-1 here and tied the game up, so they ended up losing to the Twins. All right, we'll come back, take more phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. The K-Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.